Opposed? The motion carries. All right, we'll move on to Article 17, title disputes. Is that right? I'm sorry, 23.
Executive contracts. Be clear, on that article, can staff reconsider it and come out with another proposal?
On which article are you talking about?
11?
Or is that, are we, as is, without incorporating?
You have another opportunity to do that at the end of the process.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't want to hear any more about it?
Right.
Or another proposal? Okay, good.
Okay, Article 23, executor contracts. There was not much of a change there, scratching out successor statute. Didn't appear to be...
and no comments.
Not an objection, Mr. Smart, but you say however.
I think we're fine with that.
Okay.
Move for adoption.
All right. We have a motion to adopt Article 23, executory contracts, in principle by Mr. Hike. And seconded by Mr. Arnold. Any further questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Okay, next is Article 27. Used to be counterparts, now it's multiple originals.
I'll make a motion for adoption.
Right.
Of the proposed rewrite of Article 27.
We have a motion for adoption of the Article 27, multiple originals. Motion by Mr. Hike, second by Mr. Arnold for approval. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. The next one is Article 17, title disputes. I believe in this one you consolidated several of the...
We took actually another article that was called warranty of title. And it had two paragraphs. We took the first paragraph and we put it into this one, which is title disputes.
Yeah, and you shifted everything else down.
Yes, and then the second part of that one, we put it in in page one of the lease. So you'll see that later on. This general article deals with how to handle title disputes. And we got quite a few comments that we thought were very helpful on this one. Particularly with regards to the second sentence of paragraph A, which is in our current lease and is in the August 2016 draft as well. But if you read it by itself, it seems to say that the state is not required to return any payments received hereunder. And it could, I guess, be interpreted to apply to overpayments made by mistake to the state. Obviously, as the largest landowner in the state and almost all of our properties have land-water boundaries, we have title disputes on a regular basis. And sometimes lessees will give us the benefit of the doubt and pay us, and it may turn out that dispute, it's changed in some way. We may make a claim at one time and then change our claim later on after further examination. Or we may just have a monies put into escrow and settle out with the disputing landowner on some basis that's just meant to avoid litigation. And then we may have litigation, concursus suit is filed, and we may settle that, or a judge may settle it for us. This statement that we're never required to return any payments received here under could be applied broadly. Now, it hasn't been, and it's in our current lease, which has been in effect for 17 years.
Excuse me, Mr. Divitt.
Yes, sir.
Have you looked at the suggested changes from the industry?
Yes, sir, we have.
Is there any significant change there?
Well,
if so, point it out, please.
Actually, as a staff, we talked about this yesterday of just completely removing that sentence. We didn't think that it was necessary.
Which sentence again?
Second sentence of paragraph A.
New paragraph A, clean version?
Yes, sir.
You feel that we should remove it as requested?
Well, in our limited discussions, obviously, so we got these comments last week, and then we met yesterday afternoon. Our meeting yesterday afternoon was, you know, not conclusive because we wanted to hear from the board, so we didn't want to come to a conclusion on what our proposed draft ought to be. But in our discussions yesterday, we thought that it could be removed without any harm.
Let me ask you this. Are we saying that if there's a dispute and the lessee has paid the state, and then there's a title dispute, and so there's a disagreement between the lessor and the lessee, at the present time the state holds that money until it is decided, right?
State owns or owes?
Holds. Holds on it.
Holds it.
Holds it.
And has been paid?
Yeah. Is that what we're talking about? In other words, if there's a title dispute and the lessee has already paid the state, we hold that money until that dispute is settled.
Well,
not me. But the state does, right?
If we have been paid, yes.
Right.
But in a lot of cases with those kind of disputes, the disputes are known beforehand, and the money upon beginning of production is either concursed or escrowed. But in the event that it is not and we are paid, then yes, it just goes into the treasury just like everything else.
But if we take this out, then that would not be the case, correct?
I don't know that was our intent with taking it out. I mean, the very first sentence says we do not warrant title. The second sentence, I think, is intended to discuss the types of damages mentioned. I believe it's in Mineral Code Article 120.
I think it was meant to apply to rents, bonuses, and that sort of thing.
All we're arguing for is that when it gets settled or there's a judgment or whatever, we ought to be able to get the money back instead of having a blanket prohibition on not getting the return of the money.
That hasn't been an issue before. We've always given the money back.
But it's just the way the lease form reads. I know it hadn't been a problem to date, but we're going through and trying to. And I thought the other changes to this section were very good. They comported more with the actual practice that y'all are following on escrow and all. It's just when you look at this sentence, technically as read, the companies could be exposed to not getting that money back. And that hadn't been the practice, so we'd like for the lease to read more, you know, evenly and comport more with the practice that has been done.
And though we did consider the suggestions in the comments that we received, I don't know that we came to a comfort level with them yet. So that's why I don't know that we can say that we agree or disagree with them at this time.
How does adding that little bit of language. It is expressly agreed that except as lessor may expressly authorize hereafter. How does that change?
Well,
what would they be authorizing after?
Well, our main request was that the language be deleted. If it was right. Not deleted, then we would like that provision in there to at least in the context of the sentence not have a blanket prohibition but allow you to make an exception. Again, we would rather remove the sentence, but if we had the sentence, then we would the fallback was the language that would allow y'all to make an exception.
And staff had discussed perhaps drafting another sentence that would limit its application only to those things such as rents and bonuses, standard payments that were based on acreage.
Let me ask you, what your original intent of the sentence was that if you have an issue specifically, as it says, title, warrant, in relation to warranty, we're not giving you the money back. That doesn't, you're not getting the money back immediately, but it doesn't mean you won't get the money back.
Well, money relating to royalties.
If there's some sort of dispute that comes to a resolution.
Right. We're not trying to tie our hands or the court's hands as far as resolving a dispute. I think
then
this
you're
is
never
going
to get the money back.
Right. I think this is more saying that we're not warranting title, and therefore we're not, you know, required to give the money back.
But, yeah, with all due respect, our concern, I mean, y'all haven't been interpreting it that way, but if the language stays in as written, we're exposed to y'all taking a position later on that y'all don't have to get the money back, and that's what it says.
So what if you tightened it up to describe what money's your meaning?
And I think that's actually, though we've had all these discussions, as you've heard, we've considered deleting it. We've considered the language that is, you know, sort of the second option. We've considered a new sentence. I don't know that we came to a consensus on it.
And it would make more sense to not return to the bonus or rental, because that's more upfront. We bid on the lease and we took the lease. The concern is more go forward on royalties. And that's more the concern. And I can understand just getting the comments and the significance of the provisions that y'all wouldn't be ready to agree on specific language.
I have a question. I'd like some clarification. I'm looking at the May 2nd comments from Haney and Nicholson, and it says here that this language, the second sentence, is not in the existing lease. I thought I heard earlier that language, the lessor shall not be required to return, is in.
It was in a different article.
Well, yeah, and with all, you know, Originally, when we got the changes, we just looked at the red line version, and it shows up as being a total addition. Once we, later on, and especially after I talked to Jim, we realized it was in the form. So Peck didn't have the benefit of the conversation that I had with Jim. So, well,
I was looking for clarification whether that was a change to.
Right. No, it was in there. Peck just didn't realize it at the time.
Right.
Mr. Height. My thought is that I would make a motion to adopt the clean version, notwithstanding the second sentence of A, and that staff at the next meeting give us your revised language to that second. I guess it would be to the entire A of that section. So my motion is.
But he also has some objections to the third.
Yeah, there's other sentences that we need to discuss, or we would like to discuss in that red line paragraph.
Yeah, and I mean that would be one option is to just say we'll continue working on paragraph A as a whole, knowing that they have issues with 2, 3, and 4.
Just say you don't like all of it, or
you have issues with 2, 3, and 4.
I'm sorry, second, third, fourth sentence.
There's four sentences.
You didn't have a problem with first sentence. So there's at least some issue of the second and the last, let's say. Isn't there only three sentences in the whole paragraph?
No, there's four. There are four sentences.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make a motion. My motion is that we adopt the proposed rewrite clean version of Article 17, notwithstanding paragraph A, and that the staff at the next meeting make the suggestion that we've discussed to paragraph A for consideration of the board. That's my motion.
Okay. Tyke has a motion. Do you have a second? Mr. Arnold makes a second on Mr. Hike's motion. Any discussion or public comment?
Public comment. We still have problems with the third and fourth sentences.
Okay. Right, he talked
we
about
we didn't them. Discuss. And I thought in the context of his motion, and maybe I misunderstood, but that our discussion focused on the changes to the second sentence and not the others. If the motion allows them to continue to revise that, then I'm fine.
Revise all of A. Okay. All of A.
Fine.
All right.
Just A.
Right. Don't change your motion.
No.
All right. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We'll move on to...
So, Mr. Chairman, to make it yes. clear that the next meeting, staff is going to give us their suggested changes to paragraph
That's
A,
right.
Article 17.
Right. And hopefully iron it out. Item Article 26, severability.
The comments address the third sentence in this paragraph, and the comments indicate a situation where we'd be in litigation between lessee and lessor. We thought that this sentence could stay in because that wouldn't always be the case, that a portion of our lease could be declared invalid, let's say by a court, let's say by the Louisiana Supreme Court, in litigation we're not involved in, in which case us and our lessee would want to continue our contract and find some way to get it done. So this sentence encourages us to do so. I don't think it's worded fairly loosely, so it doesn't really create any tight
Jim,
things.
Are y'all asking that the court reform the contract to try to comport with our intent? And I mean, did either one of us really want the court?
I don't know
what that means.
It's more of a broad plan between the lessor and the lessee to try to find a way to make the lease whole again, or. That's
not invalid.
Could there be language added that upon our agreement or our mutual agreement, or will reform if we're able to agree or something? The way I read it the first time that it, you know, you've got a court saying that part of it's not enforceable, and you've got a sentence saying that the lease shall be reformed to replace the severed provision with something as close to expressing the intent of the parties. To me, it was inviting the court to do it, but maybe I'm maybe I was misreading it.
I thought it meant the parties, but I guess you could
mutually agree, or I don't know, something. But
well, it says the parties shall be reformed.
Doesn't that mean the lease
shall be reformed? It takes into consideration the industry's position, sir.
It says the parties agree the lease shall be reformed, but it doesn't say whether the parties shall do the reforming.
Yeah, it doesn't say how and who does the reforming.
In other words, the parties agree that they shall reform the lease would do
so
it.
So are you meaning that if there's some sort of judgment by a court that it invalidates the lease, or only that portion that it related to in the lease?
Just that portion.
This is meant, if the whole lease is invalidated, this wouldn't come in. It's only when a portion of it is to create a severable thing so that you excise.
And you're meaning that you don't, that you would or you wouldn't have to amend the lease to reflect that?
You would think that you would want to if you've had a portion of it taken out in order to keep it to
abide by the judgment.
Yeah, let's say our force majeure clause was declared invalid. Not that we were in litigation, but then our type of force majeure was declared invalid, then we would want to find some way to keep a lease going when a force majeure event occurred.
Right.
It would be in our mutual benefit to do so.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Hyde.
I would agree with Mr. Smart if the word was may. That would encourage litigation. But Mr. Smart, when it says parties agree that the lease shall be reformed, it means that the parties are going to have to agree to the reforming. This language is in many, many, as you know, master contracts, and I mean, I don't see a big deal with it, personally. It simply says if a clause is going to be declared to be invalid, the rest of the lease stays intact, and that particular clause shall be agreed upon by the parties and reformed.
And with all due respect, I don't have a problem with that we agree we're going to reform to make it, but I don't think it says that. It just says it shall then be reformed. And to me, that may mean the court doing it and not us. But that's just my comments, and you can take them for
it. Mr. Chairman, I got a motion. My motion is to adopt the proposed clean version.
Second. All right. We have a motion to approve Article 26, Severability's clean version in principle. Second by Mr. Arnold. Any other comments, questions, public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item Article 24, Law and Reform. Is that it? Is it Law and Reform. All right, what's
I'd like to make a statement before we get into this, Mr. Chairman, and in my own opinion,
yes,
as a country lawyer that never practiced oil and gas law, I can tell you, in my mind, from what I've seen as I've been on this board, this is probably one of the most significant clauses of our change of our mineral lease. And I say that with all respect to all the district courts in the state of Louisiana. But what I've seen is that in many of these jurisdictions, we've taken a shellacking. It's overwhelming that most state agencies, the jurisdiction and the venue is a 19th judicial district here in Baton Rouge. I've got a list, if you want me to rattle them off, of all the agencies that that jurisdiction applies to. We need to make sure that if there's a dispute between lessor and lessee, that dispute is litigated in the 19th Judicial District where every other agency issue is litigated. So yeah, I just want to make that
issue.
Statement.
It's been an issue. Certainly has been an issue. Jim?
Yes, sir. Do
you have any comments on the article?
Change, obviously, the things for you to consider are might not like everybody in the 19th JDC. And I think Ryan may be able to give us some clarity as to whether this is going to be uniformly enforceable. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think it depends on whether they're overlapping leases, and this is just in my experience, I think that Mr. Hyde's comments are well taken and correct, and so are yours, that we may not like everybody we get in the 19th, but the 19th is traditionally known as the judicial district where agency matters are decided. So there is a good bit more sophistication there for that kind of stuff. But I think that the question of whether it's going to be uniformly enforceable is going to depend on what type of dispute we're talking about. If we are talking about a lease dispute, lease term dispute between the state and its lessee, then I don't see that there would be any problem with that. I think that that kind of form directive is acceptable. If it is one of our many concursus suits that involve leases between us and an operator and a private party and an operator, then I think that we may run into venue exceptions in court, and then it's going to really be at the discretion of whichever court it appears in first. And in my experience, when there is dual jurisdiction available, whichever court gets it first generally keeps it. And we've had that come up in several of the concursus suits where, especially two that were filed here in the 19th, with proper jurisdiction, the private parties objected vociferously to that, wanting it removed to Red River. We opposed that, and the court basically said we're just going to keep them here. But then every time I've raised the venue exception in other jurisdictions, saying that the 19th is the proper jurisdiction for the mineral board, we lose. So in those cases, we can state this all day long, it may not control. But in cases of dispute of terms with the lessee, I do believe that it will control.
We didn't have any trouble with the proposed changes that Cynthia and Peck suggested. The first two changes, we thought those were appropriate and did capture our intent. Changing the lessee agrees that the to just the and lessee further agrees, but the other part relating to federal jurisdiction, we thought that making it discretionary would dilute the intent of this article, and we thought that it would be appropriate to have it required. In discussing it yesterday, we thought we needed to maybe tune up a little bit of our language. The word removed doesn't really work there. It should be removable, I think. But we suggest that.
Mr. Divitt, let me tell you what my objection would be to the proposed change by industry. If we take out lessee further agrees that any litigation, I think it's incumbent upon us as stewards of the state's natural resources to get the lessee to agree to the 19th Judicial District. And that's what your proposed change does contractually. Now, if this is out of order somewhere, some court may look at it differently, but if the lessee agrees and that's in that document, then you got a contractual leg to stand on. So I would not change that language. I wouldn't agree to change that language. Why would we change that language? Why would we not hold the lessee to the standard that's throughout all the other state agencies? I don't see any reason to make that change. Now, the changing of the word of removed to removable, that's, you know.
Well, we thought that the changes deal. They suggested still held them to the contractual requirement.
Well, then, if that's the case, leave the language in. So it's
but
clear.
What they pointed out, and
I know
was
they
never
pointed
an,
out,
but our that, intent that we wouldn't be held to it.
Mr. Hike, if I may, I'd like to add just another observation to yours. I think you're correct. The concern that we have and have had discussions between our office and the agency is that by including the proposed language, it may be an inadvertent or unintentional waiver of sovereign immunity, which is contrary not just to legislative directive, but is contrary to the will of the people through the Constitution. It's our recommendation that I think the removal versus removed, removable or removed language, you're right, is insignificant change, but I do believe that there's an argument to be made that we would have waived sovereign immunity from federal court if we adopt the proposed changes, and our office strongly recommends against that.
Which changes?
Well, change. Now you confused.
The industry change.
Correct.
But which of the industry's changes?
There's three.
All of them.
You were talking about the is required to be filed in or is removed to federal court, that change?
That's correct.
Okay, I'll make my motion that we adopt the clean version that's been submitted to us, to the board.
On Article 24, correct?
Yeah, on Article 24.
24, law reform. All right, Mr. Hayek.
Second.
Makes a motion to approve Article 24, law and form and principle as presented in the new proposed rewrite clean version, seconded by Mr. Arnold. Any public comment?
Yes. I think the language, as suggested, dealing with the first two changes, the intent is not that industry is not that lessee is not agreeing to that venue. The intent is that it needs to apply to both of us, and that's why those changes were suggested. Now, if it would help instead to say lessor and lessee agree, then maybe. But it needs to apply to. We need to both. If we're bound by the ninth to go to the 19th JDC, y'all should be as well. So that was the intent of the changes.
And Mr. Chairman, my comment to that comment is this: that the natural resources of the state of Louisiana should be protected, and that leaving the language lessee further agrees that any is a confirmation, a contractual confirmation by the lessee that they agree to be litigated in 19th Judicial District. I understand Mr. Smart's position, and probably if I was sitting in his chair, I'd be wanting to do the same thing, but I would suggest we take the recommendation of the staff. Well, and I call for previous questions.
Is recommending that we adopt those comments.
Well, then I disagree with that.
Okay. The first two.
The first two?
Yeah, just the first two.
Which would mean that you're deleting the language of lessee further agrees?
Unless
the concept of making it mutual, not just applying to the lessee.
Well, my motion is that the clean version as submitted by staff to that article be adopted by the board without any changes.
There's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. All right. Jim, about venue and EEOC on this list here?
Venue is covered. We just covered venue.
Right. And EEOC was removed?
We're recommending not to add it.
Okay. All right.
I think that concludes it.
Yeah. Okay. So you want to acknowledge that, the removal of the EEOC?
You got to move.
Yeah.
I'll move.
Mr. Strike makes a motion that we are removing EEOC discrimination.
Second.
From the new proposed rewrite of the lease, seconded by Secretary Harris. Any questions or discussion? Public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed, the motion carries. All right. Item 5. Thank you, Tommy. Okay. Yeah.
So
just before you start, the second tranche, for information purposes, will consist of the following articles as listed in the August proposed form: Article 1, bonus; Article 2, primary term; Article 12, lessor's rights; Article 8, lessee reporting; Article 25, conflict; Article 21, indemnity and hold harmless; Article 20, notices; Article 22, no warranty of title; Article 15, financial security; Article 5, force majeure, recitals, and signatures. Those will come in your second tranche, which will be provided, I guess, in the next week or so, and within 24 hours. And just as the same, they'll be provided in those articles in the same manner. We'll review them, and hopefully if industry has some issues, they can get them to us in a reasonable time. All right? Sorry, Emil.
No, sir, that was correct. That's Item 5 is BHB Billiton Petroleum, Inc., in a letter dated May 4, 2017, has requested that the State Mineral and Energy Board at its May 10, 2017 board meeting authorize the staff of the Office of Mineral Resources to negotiate the terms of an operating agreement on unleased state acreage situated in sections 29 and 30, Township 16 North, Range 11 West, Bossier Parish, Louisiana. This is the same property formerly covered by State Lease 17732 and released by JW Operating Company within the HARESU 127 and the CVRASU 45, Elmwood Field, Bossier Parish, Louisiana. Furthermore, BHP has requested that said acreage be removed from commerce and therefore unavailable for leasing until August 9th, 2017, or until an operating agreement is confected and approved by the board, whichever occurs first. Staff recommends they be given the authority to negotiate the terms of an operating agreement with BHB Billiton covering unleased state acreage situated in sections 29 and 30, Township 16 North, Range 11 West, in Bossier Parish, Louisiana, being the same property formerly covered by State Lease 17732 within the HARESU 127 and CVRASU 45, Elmwood Field, Bossier Parish, Louisiana, and remove the acreage from commerce until August the 9th, 2017 board meeting, or until an operating agreement is confected and approved by the board, whichever occurs first.
All right. Any questions or discussion?
Make a motion.
Motion by Mr. Hyde.
But after I make the motion, I just wanted to make a comment. I move that we adopt staff's recommendation.
Second.
Mr. Hike moves that we adopt staff's recommendation on item 5. Mr. Arnold seconds that motion. You have a comment now?
Yes. Just want to know, would it be appropriate to give us a little bit more explanation when you talk about negotiating the terms? I'm not saying give us numbers, but tell us what terms. In other words, you know, are we talking about rents? Are we talking about royalties? What do we? In other words, when you come to the board, give us a little further explanation of what you mean by terms. Terms could be anything in the lease or in the operating agreement.
Basically, what we'll be talking about is the royalty percentage, the amount of time, and all of that. BHP actually came to us on this. They want to drill a number of additional wells, and so.
And I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. I understand that now that we talked about it a bit. But they did not understand what terms meant. So what I'm saying is the next time you come to us, let us know what – I'm not asking you for numbers or your negotiating strategy or any of that stuff. Just tell us in terms of –
We'll put what we'll be negotiating.
I think that would be helpful. Thank you. And I'll make that motion.
Right. We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any other comments or public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
And the final item is item number six. Mr. Ted Hike, State Mineral and Energy Board member, in an email dated May the 8th, 2017, has requested the following item be added to the report: a motion to amend and supplement Board Resolution 16-19-014, adopted October the 12th, 2016, whereby any proposed change to the articles in terms of a mineral oil and gas lease operating agreement or assignment must be presented to the board in written resolution form for approval before granting authority to the chairman, vice chair, or secretary of the board to execute same.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make a...
Mr. Hike.
I'm going to make a motion with regards to this request of mine. It's no secret that I feel that the signature, the signing of, or the changing, rather, of any terms or articles of the mineral lease should be presented to the board in writing before any changes be made. That's been my thought from the beginning of this whole process. In the beginning of the process, all the suggested changes, I really didn't understand the significance of what I was requesting. And so I'm going to make a motion to delay the request that I'm making today, because I learned two reasons. I learned something more today through our discussion as to what we might be able to accomplish by this, so that it's not quite so burdensome on staff. And number two, because I think it's so significant that all the members of the board, at least those that are not here today, should have the benefit of the discussion. So I'm going to make a motion to set aside, if you will, this request of mine. That being said, I do strongly believe that any time that there is a suggested change to the language in the mineral lease, the operating agreement, or assignment should be brought to our board in a written form before we authorize someone to sign off on it, rather than just a simple motion to be made at the board meeting. But again, I think all of us should be here when this issue is taken up, and I have learned something new today in the discussion, which makes me think that I should delay this to another time.
Okay.
And sometimes these significant changes of policy take a while. The policy that has been implemented up until this time was adopted in 2004, July 14, 2004, I think. And what I'm suggesting is a change of that policy in a fashion that is not as cumbersome on the department. So I'd ask that.
And to clarify, your original thought was the board approves something, and that if after it's approved, if there was some sort of change, you wanted it to come back for approval.
My original thought is.
Your original thought.
My original thought was that any and all resolutions should be presented to the board initially. And Mr. Divitt made a point in our initial discussion that would take, you know, maybe 50 resolutions to be prepared and forwarded to the board before action. And I understand that. So now I've tried to pare it down to what I think are the most sacred documents that this board has to deal with. And it's the lease, the operating agreement, and assignment. And if I or any member of staff or the secretary, assistant secretary, in the future wants to change an article in those three documents, that change, in my mind, should be presented to the board in writing and not in a simple motion before the board. And again, I say I'm not casting dispersions. I'm talking about something that could happen in the future. I have all the confidence in the world with the staff and the members of the board, but I think it just protects the board's actions in the state in the future.
Okay. So Mr. Hike has a motion to withdraw set aside his proposed item six. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any further discussion, public comment? If not, all in favor? Aye. All opposed? Nays?
Thank you.
I have one comment.
Yes.
Do I have to turn this on?
No, it's on.
This resolution is being referred to as 1619014. I'm looking at the original resolution as 1610014. Am I seeing a typo, or is it just this was this the correct? This is the
1610 is the correct one. It was a typo. 19 was a typo.
1610. So it's not 1619.
Correct.
All right. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I was looking at the right.
We copied it exactly the way the email came in.
And I will also have comments the next meeting, because I feel like what I have to say also that all members should be present. So I will hold off on that also. Thank you.
Right.
With regard to the resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, that concludes the legal and title controversy report. We're on to the docket review report.
As far as Category A state agency leases, there are no items appearing on today's docket. Category B state lease transfers. The staff is requesting that you, the board approve items 1 through 9. Number 10 approved, subject to the approval of the governor. Approve items 11 through 16. And item 17 approved, subject to the approval of the governor. As far as Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries State Agency lease transfers, there are no items appearing in this category today. And the final item, Category D, advertised proposals. We're recommending to approve items 1 through 4, and that will complete the recommendations for docket review.
All right, we have a motion to approve the docket review items by Mr. Arnold. Do you have a second? Second by Mr. Cordero. Any comments or questions? Public comments? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. We're on to our executive session.
Yes, sir. There are six items.
A through F?
Yes, sir. 5A is a discussion regarding the litigation entitled Yuma Exploration and Production Company, Inc., versus the State Mineral Board, docket number 55891, Division B, 25th, JDC in Plaquemines Parish. B is a discussion regarding the litigation entitled Duncan Oil, Inc. versus State, docket number 2014-4513-D, 14th, JDC, Calcasieu Parish, docket number 16-988, Third Circuit Court of Appeal. Item C is a discussion regarding settlement of outstanding audit issues with Chevron Texaco, Texaco E&P, and Unical. Item D is a discussion regarding an offer of compromise via communitization agreement by Hill Corp affecting state lease numbers 2227 and 21687 in the MQR BSUA, West Delta Block 83 Field in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana. Item E is a presentation of a settlement offer from Stone Energy Corporation regarding royalty audits for the period of July 2011 through December 2014. And finally, F is a technical briefing on bids.
Make a motion for executive session.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold going to executive session, second by Ms. LeBlanc. All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries.
Thank you.
Yeah. When we're talking about terms, we're talking about
Ready? All right. If we're ready, let's entertain a motion to come out of executive session. Mr. Hollinshead makes a motion. We come out of executive session. Mr. Arnold seconds. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We're back in regular session. Jason, would you like to? I'm sorry. Yes, but first of all, our executive session items.
Right, thank you. Ryan Seidman. Okay, I'm going to take items A, B, and E, and then I believe Mr. Devitt's going to cover C and D to the extent necessary. So item A, again, is the Yuma Exploration and Production Incorporated versus State Mineral Board, docket number 55891. Division B, 25th JDC, Plaquemines Parish. For this item, we are requesting that the board reject the current settlement offer by Delacro and authorize counsel to negotiate pursuant to the terms discussed in executive session.
All right. I'd like to entertain a motion to accept this. Mr. Seidman's recommendation, moved by Secretary Harris, second by Mr. Arnold. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. The second one is the matter of Duncan Oil Incorporated versus State, docket number 2014-4513D, 14th JDC, Calcasieu Parish, docket number 16-988, 3rd Circuit Court of Appeal. This one, we were looking for direction from the board regarding where to go from the Third Circuit's original decision in this matter, and we're seeking authority from the board at this point to proceed as discussed in executive session.
All right.
Motion to grant authority.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept Mr. Sonneman's recommendation. Do we have a second? Second, Mr. Hollinshead. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
Thank you.
Item C was a discussion on settlement of outstanding audit issues with Chevron, Texaco E&P, and Unical. No action by the board is needed. Item D was a discussion regarding an offer of a compromise via communitization agreement by Hillcorp affecting state leases 22, 27, 21, 687 in the MQRBSUA unit, West Delta Block 83 Field, Plaquemine Parish, Louisiana. And the staff has asked for authority to evaluate the offer and begin negotiations.
All right, do we have a motion to accept Ms. Devitt's recommendation? Moved by Ms. LeBlanc, second by Mr. Hike. Any public comment? Not all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Is that all the items?
No. We have item E, the proposed settlement offer from Stone Energy regarding royalty audit for the period of July 2011 to December 2014. Pursuant to the discussions in executive session, we're seeking authority from the board to accept this proposed settlement offer.
All right. We have a recommendation by Mr. Seidelman on Stone. Moved by Ms. LeBlanc, second by Mr. Hike. Any public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
That's it.
Thank you.
Yeah, Chairman, Jason? Chairman, board members, there were four tracks that received bids today. All tracks received a single bid. Staff is recommending accepting those single bids on each track today.
All right. Do you have a motion to accept those bids on those tracks?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Hike. Any further discussion or questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. All right, that was the awarding of the leases. Any new business? Any announcements?
Yes, sir. Today's lease sale, we have $169,770,000 awarded on four leases. We also sent out notice to lessees, as Mr. Bradbury mentioned, about force majeure in front of hurricane season. That went out before May 1st, as well as posting to our website as of today on the quarterly report from Ms. Newman in the middle income. You will receive an email from Suzanne on that, as well as I'd like board members to note that by May 15th, this Monday, have to have your financial disclosure forms filed. I believe Suzanne sent out an email right at the beginning of May on that note, and maybe we'll resend it just to re-spark that effort. May 15th, Monday. It's also have a personal note. I've accepted an offer to return back to the private sector. As Assistant Secretary, it's been a great pleasure to serve the Office of Mental Resources and the professionals with the office, as well as the board here. I take public service very strongly to heart. I believe it's a noble profession with a lot of great people doing the work of Louisiana, and I will dearly miss the board as well as the Office of Mental Resources, but certainly will not be going too far, as certainly will be continue my domicile here in Louisiana. I love the state and love the effort that's going on here. I believe that the board and the department will continue to be served by an assistant secretary once the governor and Secretary Harris decide that person. And I do appreciate everybody's consideration, and I will miss y'all, but please, my cell phone still will continue to be the same, and thank you.
David, I'd like to thank you for your service, and you will be missed both personally and professionally. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary Harris. Yeah,
thank you, David. I've known you before. It's been a pleasure to work with you and get to know you even more so. I know, albeit while your term seemed a little short, you covered a lot of ground in that amount of time. It wasn't always easy and certainly challenging, but you were certainly effective, and thank you and good luck in your new endeavor.
Thank you.
David, thank you for your service, and we ask that you stay in touch, and we wish you the best moving forward.
Thank you very much. I will.
David, I want to add my two cents and say that I certainly respect the work that you've given to the board. You know, without saying, sometimes you and I have had some disagreements, but they've always been in a gentlemanly way, and I certainly appreciate the interest that you've had in protecting our state. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Look, I'd like to invite you back whenever we actually vote on a new lease so you can see it happen.
I look forward to that day.
I'd also like to say in these tough state financial times, I'm glad to see that we scraped together enough money to get some permanent name boards for the new members on the board. Don't tell the legislature that we spent that money. But so anyway, if there's no further business or announcements, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Mr. Hike, second by Mr. Cordero. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We're adjourned, and we'll see you next month.